Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello once again and welcome to the Ruler Tech podcast. And I am your host, Dan Cavallari, and I'm joining you all the way from Colorado in the United States. And all the way across the pond, I am joined not just one Ruler editor today. I have two Ruler editors. I have Peter Stewart. Hey, Peter.
How's it going, Dan? Nice to see you.
And I have Ian Cleverly. Ian, you are a new addition to our tech podcast. Welcome.
Thank you, Dan. That's because I know nothing about tech, but that's why I'm here in the room for all those non-tech heads like me.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Ian's here today because he had a very strong, visceral, one might say, reaction to one of the topics that we were discussing for the tech podcast, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And as we see integration sort of take over road bikes in the last several years, The integrated cockpit has become a lightning rod of controversy. There's the very supportive side that loves the integration, loves the clean look, loves the aerodynamics, and then there's the rest of the world that's thinking, where's my adjustability? I'm stuck with one position. So today we're going to debate it, and conveniently we have. Peter is on one end of the spectrum here. Peter is a supporter of integrated cockpits. And when we say that, integrated cockpits, you know, there's a lot of different variations of that. But the general idea is that the stem and handlebar are usually one piece. That's not always the case. There are some two pieces, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And all of the cables, housing, things like that run through the handlebar, through the stem, and often through the head tube of the bike. So that's the general definition of an integrated cockpit. Peter's into it. Ian is definitely not. So we're going to talk about it. And at the end, dear friends who are listening, you're going to tell us who's right, Ian or Peter. But first, Peter, let's give your rundown of why do you like integrated cockpits?
Well, you know, it's a love affair that began in my early teenage years when I first saw an integrated cockpit that I was totally captivated by. No, I guess, to be honest, I've always thought they were a pretty good development. Since the first time I think I had one that I thought really made a palpable difference, that was the Canyon Air Road first generation, which was probably in like 2013. And what I noticed about that particular setup was like that kind of heavy integration was it was just much cleaner to look at. And then predominantly, it actually offered quite a lot more flexibility. I thought the whole thing was moving in a bit more of a tailored way. And you know what the Germans are like when it comes to that kind of engineering precision. They were really obsessed over making this dialed in bit of flex on the drops and stuff. And then it was quite new. And I think people sort of were initially back then like, oh, this isn't very adjustable and it's a bit jarring to look at. But I initially then was like, yeah, this is something I can see being quite a good kind of development going forward. I think that was hampered by a lot of the time people would come to the market and bikes would come out with integrated cockpits and handlebar stem combos that were just sort of a little bit awful, and they were just designed the wrong way so that the flare was like behind the front of the kind of center point of the bar. What I mean by that, because it gets complicated here, is obviously when you've got an integrated stem handlebar, often it's for aerodynamic purposes, and so it usually has an aerofoil shape. Now, you've got a choice of, if you've got a normal bar, you have quite a thin, you know, kind of 1-inch bar diameter. And if you create that flare, a lot of the brands created the flare behind, so like the wing of a plane. But that had that unpleasant situation that when you were sprinting, often it would hit your wrist in a really horrible, unpleasant way, especially when you're in the middle of sprint getting excited, and obviously it would actually knock you off course. So it was just a horribly confusing instance where you didn't know what was happening and your wrist hurt and you kind of nearly crashed. So it was kind of just an unpleasant side effect. And I think brands generally sort of learned quite quickly from the user experience and improved a lot. And it went in funny directions. And I think the time that I thought it had reached a really interesting apex was the Cervelo S5 in 2016. And that had an integrated handlebar that just looked sort of insane. It looked a bit like the kind of skulls of those aliens that invade in Independence Day. It was this crazy looking kind of enormous carbon thing that extended forward from the actual stem bolt. So it kind of lurched forward in front of the bike. And what was interesting about that was that it just looked horrible, basically. But again, I spoke to the engineer, Damon Rinard, who designed that bike, and he made the point that in all their testing, and the S5 was really a benchmark for, you know, the most aerodynamic bike you could get at one point. They said that the handlebar made as much, if not more, difference on its own than the entire frame behind it. And that's because it's that first point of contact. So everyone obsesses over these tiny bits of grams of gain of you know, like, oh, there's this new aerofoil segment on the down tube or the seat tube. But it actually pales in comparison with the overall shape of the handlebar. So if you've got this expensive aerodynamic frame, but then you have a traditional bar with all these clamps and stems and stuff poking out and just that kind of sort of mess of spaces and stuff, you are giving away a lot of that aerodynamic advantage. Now, you know, the traditionalists will say, you know, who needs aerodynamics? And it's true, you know, if you're going out for a fun ride, you don't need to have the most aerodynamic bike if it's going to cost aesthetics. But then I just say, you know, don't go buy a really expensive, you know, aerodynamic frame if you've not also got an integrated handlebar, because you're not really taking advantage of the whole thing. You're just getting an aerodynamic frame for the look of it, really. So I'd say in terms of that performance, if you are really performance-oriented, trying to get those last few grams, an integrated bar-stem combo is actually a necessity, I think. You really need to have that. That is a huge part in the overall aerodynamic system of how a bike looks and works. I think in the last few years, there's definitely been some developments in terms of the aero bar-stem combo. And I think predominantly you were actually seeing sort of, I think it evolved into probably it's still integrated with the cables hidden, but a two-piece where you have still a sort of traditional looking stem that bolts onto a handlebar that then feeds in the cable into the stem. So that's just a little bit more adjustable. So you can change it in a modular way and sort of angle the bars up or down, which I think is an interesting development and probably the way it will kind of end up settling into, rather than, I think it is a bit constrictive, as I'm sure Ian will say, to have this just preset, one single shape that determines the angle, the kind of touch points, the reach and all that stuff, off the shelf. And it's going to cost you £600 to get a new one because these things always cost loads. And that's before you even think of the cost of getting a mechanic to re-plug in all those little bits of cable that is always an absolute nightmare. So I think that's an interesting direction. And I'd actually say, just to give a quick shout out, the bar that I found really interesting recently, and I think I've bought in with this a few times already, is the new Ribble Ultra bar that they've actually got rid of the lever clamp as well. And they have effectively what's sort of like a cleat on the front of the single piece cockpit bar stem that you plug the lever onto. So that means the actual end of the drops has a very unusual but more aerofoil shape, and that's sort of taken it to the next level. And they don't even have handlebar tape on that, so that's even improving the drag further, and they say, you know, improving the actual haptics and tactility of it too. So I think that's really interesting. I think maybe that full commitment will be interesting to see how that works, and, you know, whether people find it comfortable, and, you know, whether it actually, I think it probably does offer quite a big advantage, but, you know, whether it has these kind of teething problems that other bar stem combos have had, or whether people say, you know what, actually not having the lever clamp, what an amazing thing. That was such a boring, rubbish process, like twisting a lever clamp, the lever onto the bar. So I think that's an interesting direction. And then the final thing I'll say about the bar stem combo being a one piece is that, though I think you might say it looks a bit ugly, and it does, I think obviously aesthetics is all about our traditional kind of sense of what looks good and bad, and then things being exciting because they're new and they're better. And I think definitely in terms of that traditional look, they are a little bit ugly, I think, on the whole, though I think tastes are changing. But I think one thing that's making them more appealing, I think visually and actually practically in terms of that mechanics issue of getting all these kind of levers, all these cables integrated, is the move to wireless. And I think we're now seeing that the top two group sets, you know, the top group sets from Shimano and SRAM, shouldn't say top two, Campanella's still up there, but both have wireless options at the lever. So that wireless lever, I think, will lead to much simpler design, where all you have to do is feed the front brake cable hydraulic through the fork and then the rear one to the back of the bike. So I think that's all quite exciting. It means that design-wise, we're going to have a much better, slicker, nicer setup.
So Ian, Peter went a step further and said not only does he support integrated cockpits, but they are a necessity. And I don't know if I could visually see your skin crawling.
Whoa. Oh, man.
Yeah, Ian, you got a lot to say here, I can tell. What's your counterpoint?
Well, I'm glad Peter mentioned mechanics there, because that's my starting point with pretty much anything on a bicycle. If I have to take it to a mechanic, I'm out. I mean, I get bikes arrive here occasionally for photo shoots, and I take them out of the box, and if they're not like fully together, it's like, oh my God, where do I even start with that? There's cables and all sorts of spacers and crazy stuff around the headset. I don't even know what these things do. I don't even know where these cables are supposed to go. So I bodge it together as best I can and hope it looks all right. And then say to, when we get to the photo shoot, whatever you do, do not attempt to ride this, because it will fall apart beneath you.
Decoration only.
Yeah. I mean, I'm no accomplished mechanic by any stretch of the imagination, but bar anything involving a spoke key, which is where things go horribly wrong for me, I take my hats off to anyone who can use a spoke key effectively, because I sure as heck can't, I will tackle anything on my bike. Now, I remember one of our directors a few years ago, when he'd bought a new frame, and he was considering his group set options, and he was wondering whether to go, you know, electronic. And I said, look, you know, it's your call, but when it goes wrong, you've got to take it to a bike shop. Just bear that in mind. Just factor that into your choices. And I don't know what it's like over where you are at the moment, but over here, if I go to my local bike shop, they'll say, oh, yeah, sure, we can do that in 4 weeks' time, because anything post-pandemic, the workshops have gone absolutely through the roof and have massive queues. There's a little bit of research this morning. I watched a GCN video on cable threading hacks. It just made my blood boil. How you could, a 10-minute video on how the heck, involving magnets. One of it involved magnets. So you get a magnet and run it across your tube. It's like, are you serious? Yeah. There was another one with a vacuum cleaner. I kid you not. You had a vacuum attached to the hole at the end by the headset there. Pulling this piece of thread through. And I was just like, hang on, this was a 10-minute job, and now it's become this crazy nonsense. They rattled, don't they? I mean, bear in mind, I've never had one, right? But isn't internal cable rattling a thing? I gather a lot of people are angry about that.
It can be, yeah.
I mean, you know, and everybody hates rattles, right? Rattles is the worst.
Any mystery noise, yeah.
And when it's inside your frame, it's like, how the heck are you going to fix that? And then I could get to the bar shape as well, because I've never used any sort of aero bars with that flak section on the top that I actually enjoyed holding. You know, it's like somewhere to rest your palms. But other than that, you know, and I like riding on the tops, but I like a round bar. And as for the aero savings, it's like, who does that actually affect? How many of us really care about that?
There's a couple points there, right? So it's the lack of adjustability, the lack of being able to just tilt those bars backwards so that the flats offer a better position for you, right? The complication of it all, and potential noise and having to take it to a mechanic, basically the complication of it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a simpler aesthetic, but it's not a simpler overall package.
Indeed. And there's also the whole sort of slammed stem thing, which everybody gets a bit sort of anal about. It's like, you know, if you see so many people just like, what are you doing down there? Just like, just sit up.
Hello down there.
A bit.
Come up for air. Yeah. All right. So we've got a point and we've got a counterpoint. Peter is all about those aerodynamics, the clean look, the benefits of tucking everything away, and the added simplicity with wireless drivetrains sort of becoming the norm. Ian does not like taking his bike to the mechanic, does not want to deal with being pigeonholed into one position, the one bar shape, and also just basically having the nightmare of taking it out of the box and seeing all those parts fall everywhere. And so this brings up a lot of interesting points, but when we get back from the break here in a moment, the three of us are going to just rumble. We're going to jump off the top ropes. We're going to beat each other up in the ring here and debate this and see who's right. Is integration the future, or is it just a big pain in the butt that is overcomplicating things for very marginal gain for a very small population? So gentlemen, get yourselves ready. After the break, we're going to debate this.
Why, hello there. Podcast interruption alert, but I will only take a few short moments to say that if you're enjoying this podcast, you will love the regular magazine. So if you're not a reader already, then you can subscribe at ruler.cc for as little as £6 per month. If you don't speak Northern Irish, that's 6 times 100 pennies. And for the price of a few coffees, you get regular columns from the wonderful Ned Bolting, myself, Orla Shinnow, and some of the very finest independent cycling journalism there is, all wrapped up in a wondrously beautiful publication. Go to ruler.cc. I'll leave you to it.
Thanks, Orla. I'm Ian Parkinson from the Ruler Conversations podcast, and I'm here to tell you that subscribers get 10% off tickets to the best cycling show in the world, Ruler Live, which returns to London from November the 4th to the 6th with a great selection of top brands, bikes and guests, including Anna van der Breggen, Geraint Thomas, Romain Bardet, Marcel Kittel, Jonas Vingegaard, Fabian Cancellara, Imogen Cotter, Steve Cummings, Ned Bolting, Ian Boswell and many more. Search Ruler Live online for tickets.
So my name is Oren Peleg, and I'm an investor in Leka. Three things that really caught my eye. The first one is they're looking to change the insurance industry, which is a very large industry and I think needs change. The second thing is I'm deeply passionate about getting people onto wheel. We need to address our congestion and pollution crisis, and I believe that two wheels have a massive role to play in that. And the third thing is, I can see a growing trend around companies building on the strong communities that they have. And I think Lacka's business model in the way they tap into the community of cyclists is something that's very much on trend at the moment.
We are back with the Ruler Tech Podcast, and we are debating integrated cockpits, pros and cons. Do we need them? Do we not need them? Are they just an overcomplication for bicycles? Peter thinks they are the bee's knees. They are a necessity, as it were. And Ian says, get that off my bike. This is ridiculous. So let's jump in, because I also have opinions here. but let's quickly summarize the positions. Integration happened because it's a frontal area of the bike, and that's where a lot of drag happens. And so integrating the cables, which are round shapes, by the way, cables and housing and hoses, all round shapes, they create a lot of drag. So getting them off the front of the bike does reduce drag. Integration also stiffens up the cockpit. So for sprinters, climbers, things like that, who are really wrenching side to side, the benefit is there. Of course, on the flip side of that, for the vast majority of us, we are miserable if we are not comfortable on the bike, and integrated cockpits offer very limited adjustability. There are a few that are changing that dynamic, and they are becoming a little bit more adjustable, but at the moment, and what we've seen so far in the past, there's very limited adjustability. You are stuck with one bar shape, and so if you don't like it, you're out of luck. Integration has become increasingly polarizing because of those dichotomies. You know, it's faster, but yes, it's also less comfortable and less adjustable. So let's jump in, gentlemen. Peter, of Ian's points that he made, what do you want to pounce on first, as it were?
Yeah, I've got to say, like, the thing I've got to first thing is, like, does it matter aerodynamics? Like, obviously not in the practical use of most people just riding around, you know, whatever local park or something. But, you know, it's like, if you're really into cars, does it matter that you've got a Ferrari rather than like a 23-year-old VW? Like, they both do the same thing. You'll be driving around town at 15 miles an hour most of the time, but you want to have the best thing. And the best thing is because it has the best engine, the best aerodynamics. So I feel like if you're into that and you want to have the best bike, you're going to have to actually, yeah, have the best bike that's going to require it to have this integrated front end. Otherwise, it's just a toy for an adult, you know, it's just a random object you own.
And none of us can be accused of that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd say, you know, if these engineering kind of like criteria what you're into, then, you know, that said, you know, obviously I spend a lot of my time riding around town on a Dawes Galaxy with panniers in the front and back and, you know, handlebar top kind of brakes and stuff. And that's fine. But also I do love a really integrated Ribble Ultra, you know, S-Works Venge, God rest its soul. We miss it dearly. No, but now S-Works Tarmac SL7. But I do love that as well. So it's just, you know, it's kind of like you got your kind of your dad car for getting the kids and the shopping around. And then you've got your kind of like, you know, your Caterham or whatever for fun. Caterham is a bad example, obviously, it's quite classic, but you know what I mean. Yeah. So that's kind of the argument I take.
Ian, the young man, has just thrown down the dad bike.
I have seen Peter's Dawes Galaxy, and it is something. I can assure you, it's a workhorse par excellence.
Quite
spectacular. Yeah. I get that. I would also concede what you said about the clean look. You know, I know nobody wants a load of cables flapping around at the front. You know, even I would concede that, like, if you take all that out of the mix, it's just a nicer thing all around. I'm happy with that bit. It's just, I don't know, it's just all the faff with the, why do you have to put them inside the frame? Or maybe there's something down the line, because it is relatively young technology, right? So maybe there's something a few years down the line where somebody actually comes up with something that is easily manageable, and you know, if they can sort out the rest of it, then maybe I could come along for the ride.
Yeah, I think you're right about the new technology, because I remember my friend of mine had a Fuji, I think, it not a Transonic but the TT one, and he lost the cable. You know, he had to have a cable guide and feed it through, and he lost the cable. And the frame was written off. The frame was a write-off. You could not use it again, because once you lost the cable, you couldn't get it back, because it was such a thick, deep section in the frame. It was just lost, and you were like, "Yeah, got to get a new frame." So that was, you know, an example of your V1 type. This is not working. To be fair, I mean, just to, you know, actually argue my own counterpoint, but I think there's something about mechanics, you know, and like doing mechanics as a cyclist that is a big part of why people like cycling. I think people love to, you know, take bar tape and redo bar tape and recable their bike and do all that stuff. And I think it's therapeutic and a lot of people like it. And I think when you have the internal stuff, it's a move probably towards having a bike that's more like a car, where you just take it to the garage and say, do my service, you know, sort out everything that's wrong with it, and I'll come back and pay you £300 in a week's time. And that's kind of, I think, where cycling is going a little bit, which is good in one way, because I think it probably is like a better product, but I think it does take away that joy, which is the fact that you can do everything yourself and you can just go and fix it and change it and upgrade it. And I think that's a kind of broader point about what we get out of cycling, whether we want to be home mechanics or whether it needs to be something that is more like a high performance car where you don't really get involved in any of that at all.
Yeah, but there's quite a leap from spending 10 minutes in the shed changing a cable and then being there a week later, throwing things out of the shed in frustration. Hang on, I'll just go back inside and get the Hoover. I mean, honestly. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's important to note here too that, you know, when Trek Madone, you know, the very deep section aerodynamic one with all the integration, when that first hit the market, I think it was 2015 or 2016. I remember all the articles coming out and saying, you know, oh my God, I spent 4 hours building this bike and it was this nightmare thing. That's not the case anymore. I mean, it is still complicated, but it's not as complicated as those early versions. So, you know, if we're talking about technology, you know, engineers are not dumb people. They know when customers complain about something, that's going to factor into the next iteration. And I think we've seen that coming over and over again. And a good example of that is BMC's integrated cockpits, which are more adjustable than they ever were before, not only up and down with things like stem spacers and things like that, but also, you know, they have a two-piece option, which is still pretty well integrated, but you can tilt the handlebars fore and aft. And Trek did the same thing after, you know, after all the hoopla about the Madone and the integrated cockpits there. They did adjust that. So, you know, the question of, you know, is it too complicated? Yeah, it is. But will it be in the future? Well, that's up for debate. We're already seeing those iterations change, right? So in a sense, you know, and it's funny because you both sort of switched on yourselves. You know, Peter presented his own counterpoint and so did Ian. So that's why I think this situation is so polarizing, right? There's clear benefits to it, and there's clear, very, very clear drawbacks. And to Peter's point, right, about, you know, the joy of tinkering with your bike, that's part of the bike culture, right? Well, I was a mechanic for 14 years, so the joy there is, for me, not so joyful. But, you know, for a lot of customers, to Ian's point, which is it's complications and I don't want it in the shed, and I don't want to bring it to the mechanic. Well, actually, for the vast majority of riders who are going to buy these types of bikes, they're never going to mess with them. They're always going to bring them to the shop. So does the complication matter to them? Probably not. And once that cockpit's set up, they're not going to mess with it. I believe I just made mechanics' blood boil everywhere. but that's the reality. I mean, most customers who buy these types of bikes are never going to mess with that stuff.
I'd just like to say, because you brought up the Madone V1. Which I think is long enough away that people won't actually remember or will never have seen the crazy internal cable solution they had for the windbreak, which was that it had two tiny little doors on either side of the head tube that opened when you moved the handlebar enough to allow the brake to actually kind of get exposed out the side and still effectively brake on the front wheel. And this was like, I think, honestly, Google it, because if you haven't seen it, you won't believe it until you see it.
it's quite something.
Yeah, like a cuckoo clock, like your brakes are merging every time you have to do a sharp corner. And it was, it was sort of brilliant. It led to like a really brilliant design, but that was one of those ones where you really wondered, like, yeah, what, you probably were stretching it for the end consumer to have that and expect people to tolerate that. But that said, there are lots of cons. So Trek, you know, anyone, Ben Coates, I'm sorry, because I did really like the bike. And I did appreciate that was all to do with CPSC limits on overall radial movement or something like that. And actually, he'd argue the doors were never open, but still, it just looked ridiculous, yeah. Basically. So it was just worth honing
in. It made
it
those
on.
Little clicky so, noises, too. But, you could hear them clicking every time you turn the handlebars.
Yeah, that was funny. But yeah, sorry, that was a digression. So I just suddenly remembered that. And I felt, discussion about internal cabling and early V1 mistakes, it's needed to be mentioned.
Yeah. Well, I got an example of that when the NCN Quebecer team first started, and I went to South Africa to the team launch, and I can't remember who the boss was at the time, the team manager, Thomas Campana, I think. And if I remember rightly, you guys remember, because I'm useless with this stuff, I remember rightly, they're on Cervelos, and the brake was mounted just behind the bottom bracket. Mm-hmm. So I'm going, hey, Thomas, what do you think of this then? He was like, oh.
My blood pressure just rose thinking about those brakes. Oh, gosh.
What was even the thinking there? Is that aerodynamics or what?
Yeah,
that was, I mean, and again, that's actually going back even further, because now we're talking about rim brakes, you know, and those have largely gone away in lieu of disc brakes. So we do a lot in the name of aerodynamics. And that's funny, too, because the whole idea with that was tuck it somewhere behind a larger tube so that the air goes around it. You don't have to worry about those aerodynamics, that type of drag. That was a tough design. So, you know, we do go through a lot to shave those aerodynamic eddies of air that will slow the bike down. And that's why, to me, integrated cockpits make a whole lot of sense, because they are at the front of the bike. And that's where most of your aerodynamic drag is going to come from. So to me, there is definitely a distinct advantage to it. It just sort of depends on your ethos surrounding your bike. Are you going to be the guy that is in the garage tinkering? And as that guy, I can tell you, they are a nightmare. They are an absolute nightmare. But for the vast majority of people who are on the other side of that, they're just never going to mess with it. And they're going to take it to the mechanic when they need help. So Is it a benefit? Absolutely. Is it a pain? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it just sort of depends on where you fall on that spectrum.
You have to factor that into the cost of your bike then, don't you?
Absolutely.
Because this isn't a half-hour job for the mechanic. This is now, right, you know, stretches into hours. Could I have a new set of cables, please? Yeah, sure. I'll see you next week. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's just like cars, right? They've become more complicated. And it's not just a matter of, you know, opening up the hood and doing this, that, and the other thing. Now it's like, I have to reset the computer and go into the diagnostics. So yes, these are complicated tools now. However, you know, your round tube metal bike still exists and you can have that. Absolutely.
I've got one just here.
I have one too. Well, okay. So now we're coming up on the end of the show here. Peter's made a lot of good points. Ian's made a lot of good points. You tell us, where do you fall on the spectrum of, do we need integrated cockpits? Are they worth it to you? Or are they just a hassle that you're never going to bother with? We want to hear from you. So tell us you can get a hold of Ruler Magazine via social media, on Instagram, Twitter, at Ruler Magazine. You can tweet at me, at Brown Tie Dan. I am on social media, Instagram and Twitter. Ian, where can the people find you?
I lurk on Twitter, Ian Cleverly, all one word.
All right. And Peter, what about you? Do you want people to find you?
Oh, always. Yes. I'm here to be found. All right. Peter Stewart, S-T-U-A-R-T, digit 3. That's me on every social media. I had that email address when I was like 17 and just never worked out of getting rid of that as my handle.
Oddly traditional really for a guy that's arguing for integrated cockpits. Well, gentlemen, thank you for the discussion. And for those of you listening, please do reach out. We would love to hear what you think of this topic. And of course, if you have any suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover on a future episode of the Ruler Tech Podcast, I would love to hear it. Gentlemen, I think we can all agree that we all won today. We're all right. But let's hear from our audience. Guys, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Peter and Ian, thank you for joining me today. And we will catch you all next time on the next episode of the Ruler Tech Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.